Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 53, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 53. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 26 through verse 42. Mark 14, verses 26 through 42. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 14, beginning with verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Arjan Janssen, who received a well-born child in this past week. Also, Mr. and Mrs. De Pewter hope to travel to the Netherlands in the day of tomorrow. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, who can rightly come before thy countenance when we carry with us a heart that is so full of this world, that is cleaving continually to all that is carnal, that is vain, that is passing away, when we are not spiritual, but that we are so carnal. And then in thy house of prayer, then we must lead and we must be led in prayer unto thee. Thou who art so holy, and we who are so unholy, we who are so full of transgression and iniquity and sin, and we do not see but a small part of it. Lord, may thou open to us who and what we are in thy holy sight, that we might learn to take our rightful place, and that we may attempt to draw nigh unto thee in a right spirit, without rights and without reason from our side, that thou shouldst ever hear us. But Lord, thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world, and we have read a little portion together of that which he has suffered on account of that people who had departed from thee and who continued to depart from thee days without number. Oh, for them that price has been so fully paid. Therefore, there is salvation for the greatest of sinners, for those who must say that I am the chief, and that there is not one sinner in our midst that is too great a transgressor to be received by thee and to be washed and cleansed from all his transgressions, from all his filthiness, and to be received into favor by the justification through that shed blood of thy dear Son. Oh, there is not one who is too great a sin to be cleansed by that blood that is so powerful, that is as a fountain to cleanse the most wretched and the most wicked and the most ungodly and rebellious ones. Lord, may we be given a little to see what we are. Oh, that there may be room also in our hearts together for that precious work of thine only begotten Son, that it may become necessary for us, and that it may become also precious unto us, and that it may become suitable to our own case, and that we may be given to see that he sitteth and he eateth with publicans and with sinners, and that he is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, that there may be those in our midst who may learn by thy Holy Spirit that they are lost, 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 and that they are not able to find thee again, that they have wandered away in our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head, from God, our Maker, that we have no ability to find the way back again. Oh, that thou would give such an impression, that thou may give such a lesson to be taught by thy Spirit in the midst of us, young and old, that we might learn together the blessedness of that work which thou hast done upon that cursed tree. Then it shall not be a burden to us when we realize in the morning that it is the Sabbath day, and when we awaken, and when we are called to come together unto thy house of prayer. Lord, then it shall be no more a form, then it shall be no more a custom, when thy Spirit shall draw our hearts. Oh, then thou wilt not have to complain anymore, that we say the burden of the Lord. No, then there shall be hunger, and there shall be thirst. When thy Spirit shall draw us, then we shall run after thee. Oh, that thou would send forth thy Holy Spirit to us and to our dear children, to blow upon us and to give fruit upon thy vineyard, that new ones also may be born in Zion. Lord, establish, do build up thy kingdom from amongst us and our dear children, young and old, thou who art almighty, thou who art all-powerful, thou who sitteth at the right hand of thy Father, and in whose government and hand is all the kingdom. Oh, that thou would then send forth thy Spirit to work amongst us, even as thou hast worked in days of old, that a work of God may be evidently, may be manifestly set forth amongst us. Oh, that there may be a rustling in the midst of the mulberry trees, that thy Spirit may go forth to touch many hearts. Lord, we beseech thee, leave not one of us behind, because we travel to an eternity that shall never end, and we cannot give ourselves a due impression of the seriousness of our life. Oh, we are so dependent upon thee. We beseech thee, Lord, come thou and work thou amongst us. Do remember the children
Oh, look upon them in the days of their youth, thou who commandest them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, before the evil days draw nigh. Oh, they are not able, Lord, to respond, because they have no ears to hear. They have no heart to understand. They are from us. They have received of us uncleanness. And they are sons and daughters of Adam that are born dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, they need that thou wilt come. Oh, that thou mayst speak even in the days of their youth, as thou hast spoken in years gone by, and when thou didst come, and when thou didst so gently call, with that still small voice, Samuel, Samuel, Lord, that it may break the hearts of our dear children, that they might learn to love thee, that they might run after thee, that they may be kept from much sin and evil in this world. Oh, put thy fence around them. Oh, spare them from sinning against thee. And oh, draw them to thy blessed service. Oh, do look upon us as parents. Lord, help us to do our work. We are so foolish. And we are so slothful. But wilt thou awaken us? And wilt thou give us fervency and zeal? And wilt thou give us wisdom? Give us faithfulness? And wilt thou cause thy blessing to rest upon thy word, that also may go forth in the midst of us, from Sabbath day to Sabbath day? And Lord, when thou hast called us also to this labor, and thou givest us to be together in the midst of our congregation again, oh, then we beseech thee for thy help. We beseech thee for thy Spirit and for thy guidance, that thy blessing may rest upon our labors, and that we may not be left over to ourselves. Do look upon all those that are sick. Thou knowest the many that are in their own homes, especially children and young people. Lord, wilt thou protect them from serious sickness? Give them health and strength again. And wilt thou give them to feel also, under all these callings, the frailty of our life, and that our strength and our beauty, even in our childhood and in our youth, that can be consumed like a moth, and in a moment when the wind would blow over it, then it would be gone. Lord, wilt thou remember each and every one of them? Cause also these callings to have a place within their heart. Wilt thou look upon all those that mourn? Lord, wilt thou be with that widow and her dear children who have stood in this past week at that open grave of a beloved father and a beloved husband? Lord, remember them in mercy, and oh, do for them as thou hast promised, to be a husband to the widows and a father to the fatherless. Do look upon the mother and father who have received a well-born child in the week that is gone by. Lord, thou hast spared the life of the mother. Oh, that thou may give hearts of true thankfulness. And thou hast spared the child. Oh, that thou may give, that it may be a child born to be born again. And may thou so look upon them, strengthen them further. And look upon all the little children, the infants, remember the mothers. who are great with child, and who must bring forth in the time to come. Protect them also, and help through these ways of sorrow because of our deep fall. Lord, may thou look upon each and every one where there are crosses that are not known to us. May thou give a place to cry to thee, the living and the true God. With those who hope to travel to the old country in the day of tomorrow. Lord, remember them, give traveling mercies, and supply for them and all their relatives who will meet together in the time to come. And wilt thou bring them safely back to us again at thy appointed time. Be with all that travel from time to time, in the airplanes, but also over the unsafe roads from day to day. Wilt thou keep in safety also those who are laboring on the parsonage? Lord, wilt thou keep them also from all accident and danger? And Lord, remember each one in all our temporal life. But do give to us that true concern. We are to gather in this morning. Lord, we bring into thy house the world that is dwelling in our hearts. May thou thrust out the buyers and the sellers for a little while. Give us to think, to meditate upon those things which are eternal, that we may in thy house receive that blessing that we cannot miss, but that we cannot give unto ourselves. We beseech thee, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in whom is all the power, who has command of thy Holy Spirit, that thou would speak this day, and that thou would send him in our midst undeservedly to help us in the preaching, to give liberty and to give freedom, to open thy word to us and to the hearers, and that the hearts may be open to receive it, and that we may rejoice, O Lord, in thy wonders. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 123, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 123, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text you can find in the portion that was read to you this morning, Mark 14, and thereof the 38th verse, the second part. Mark 14, the second part of verse 38, where we read, "The Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." So far, the words of our text. The conflict of the true church. First, a willing spirit. Second, a weak flesh. The conflict of the true church. First, a willing spirit. Second, a weak flesh. It is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here about the Spirit. The Spirit, congregation of what? The Spirit of whom? What does that mean, boys and girls, when he says the Spirit is indeed willing, or the Spirit is ready? That is not the Holy Spirit, but he speaks here about the spirit of man. Thus, what does that word spirit mean? That word spirit, that means breath. Or that is as the movement of the wind, the blowing of the wind, spirit. And we read in the Bible how that the Lord, when he created man, that he made first his body, and that he has breathed the breath of life into that body, so that man became in that moment a living soul. The animals also are alive. The animals also have a spirit. They have an animal spirit. They have also a breath in which they are breathing. However, that is so different from that spirit of man, because an animal has not a soul. An animal is an irrational creature. An animal cannot think, he cannot reason. He does not have a mind or a will, but an animal that is governed directly by the Lord, when the Lord has given to him an instinct. Thus, an animal spirit, but that animal spirit, that breath of that animal that is dying in that moment, that animal is dying. Man has also such a spirit, like that animal spirit. He also has such a breath in his body as the animals have a breath in their body. And yet man has so much more than the animals. Not only because he is a rational creature, because he is given a mind, and because he is given an intellect as the crown of the creation of the Lord, that he can think, that he can reason, and with that reason created to serve the Lord therewith. But that also man is given an immortal soul. So that when that animal spirit, that breath, that life of the body of man, and that is coming to an end in this world, then man continues on. Then he continues to live, created with that capability to live forever and forever. Thus, The Lord Jesus speaks about the Spirit that is in man. The Spirit, truly, he says, is ready. Matthew says, the Spirit indeed is willing. Thus, that is the same, the Spirit being ready, truly ready, or the Spirit being indeed willing. And what does that mean, that that Spirit is willing, that that Spirit is ready? That means that that Spirit is ready to do the will of the Lord. That Spirit that is ready to go in the Lord's way, that that Spirit is not opposed unto God, but that that Spirit is desiring to do that will of God. How different congregation that is by nature. Because as we are born in this world, then our spirit that is opposed unto that will of God. What does Paul say? He says, the carnal mind that is enmity against God. That carnal mind, he says, that is not subject unto the law of God, neither, he says, indeed can it be. That carnal mind. Thus, how is it with us? Must we not also say the same? That that carnal mind of ours that is not subject unto the law of God? Oh, how is it when we are preaching to you out of the commandments of the Lord? Does that mean anything to us? Do we have a desire to walk in that way that the Lord is commanding us? By nature, we do not. No, by nature, we say with our father Adam that we will have nothing to do with the Lord being our God, our King, our Governor. But we want to do as we think is right. We will be our own God, and we will make for ourselves our own law, and we will not obey that law of God. What is the preaching then of the law? The preaching then of the law of God is for us a burden. Is that true? Is that so, young people? Is the preaching of God's law a burden to you? Is it like a fence? Is it like a wall around you that you wish to come out of? That you say it is hindering me with my freedoms? That I cannot do the things that I want to do? No, by nature, our will that is not one with that will of God. And when the Lord is bringing cross providences in our life, and when the Lord is withholding His rain and giving drought upon the world, and when the Lord is giving that our barns are burned up with fire, and when the Lord is bringing sickness, when the Lord is bringing disease in our life, in our family, then is that will, that carnal mind, is that subject unto God and His will and His law? Oh, that carnal mind has no desires after God. It is but of the earth. Earthy, it is carnal, it is sensual, it is devilish. That's who we have chosen, the devil. The Spirit truly is ready. They are the words of the Lord Jesus. He says that about his disciples. That is not man that says that. That is God. He says the Spirit truly is ready. What a change then. What a great change has then come in the life of these disciples. What is that change? That was a change in their will. That will that has been renewed. That will that is so different than before. They have received a complete change in their heart. And that change that is in their heart, that is the source of a great change also in their life. No, young people, it does not consist in outward things. No, it does not. It consists in inward things. It consists in the renewal of the heart. But when that heart is now renewed, what is going to happen? Then it is made evident, it is made manifest, it is seen how? In the outward things. The Lord Jesus could hear it with his ears. He also, of course, could see directly into the hearts of his disciples. But it was also evident in their life, and that Spirit is truly ready. Oh, that is now the sum of that new life. A ready spirit, a willing spirit, a spirit that is ready, that is willing for what? That is a spirit that is ready to forsake the world and every former friend. Oh, just like Ruth's spirit, when the Lord has worked in her heart, oh, then she was ready to leave the whole world behind and all the idols that she used to worship. Even if it meant she had to leave father and mother and brothers and sisters and all her family. The Spirit truly is ready. Oh, that Spirit is ready to obey. That Spirit is ready to walk after the commandments of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he doth meditate day and night. Oh, that is the spirit of Hezekiah. To put away all of the idolatry. Not to walk in the way of his father Ahaz, no. But to walk in that way that the Lord himself has placed in his heart, that spirit that indeed is willing, that spirit truly is ready. Oh, it is ready to do what? It is ready to receive directions. It is ready to receive commandments from the Lord, that the Lord should show them that way that they have to go. Just like Saul, the Lord converted him, and the Lord made his spirit ready. He made his spirit willing. Oh, the Lord struck his soul. And then what did he say? Lord, what wilt thou that I should do? Oh, the Spirit truly is ready. Oh, that Spirit of the disciples that was also ready. That was ready even to do what? That was ready to go through all trials and all tribulations that were in this life. What did Peter say? Lord, I am ready. I am ready to go with thee unto prison and unto death. Oh, then the Lord Jesus could hear the fruits of the work of his own Holy Spirit in the life of his disciple. The Spirit truly is ready. What a change from being so unwilling to being so willing. did that change ever happen to you, boys and girls? Young people, fathers and mothers. We have a rebellious spirit. Oh, with no desire to come to the house of God. We have much form, we have much custom, yes. Then maybe we are obedient to father and mother, young people. But was that spirit ever made ready? Was it ever truly made ready? Was that spirit ever truly made willing by the Lord and given a new desire, a new longing? Then the service of the Lord is no more a burden. No, then the Lord is drawing. And then you have a willing spirit in the day of the power of the Lord. Oh, and then the service of the Lord, that is a sweetness. Then there is such a delight in that service. Then there is a joy. And when we wake up in the morning, boys and girls, and when we realize in the morning that it is the Sabbath day, oh, that it is the day that we may go up unto the house of the Lord, that we have been looking forward unto that day. Oh, such a spirit that truly is ready. And that zeal of that spirit that is so evident, especially in that new life. Oh, and that new life that is just born, then how lively is the praying of that spirit. Oh, how devout are the longings, not after this world, no, but my soul that thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, how strong are the hungerings and the thirstings. Oh, Lord, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee. Oh, how earnest then are the confessions. Oh, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Oh, so sincere, against Thee, Lord, against Thee only have I sinned. How upright are the intentions of that spirit that is made ready, that is made willing. Though all men should be offended, yet will not I be offended. The Spirit truly is ready. What do that people not yet understand? Well, we see in our second thought that the flesh is weak. Simon, sleepest thou? Who is that? That is the Lord Jesus. To whom does he speak? He speaks unto Peter. He has to wake him up. And why does he have to wake him up? Because we read here, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. Sleeping. You say, boys and girls, is that so bad? That they are sleeping, they are tired. Their body, that is a body just like everyone else's body. They have been through so much anxiety as they have followed the Lord Jesus, as he has spoken to them about all the things that were going to happen. Then they have become tired. And so they have fallen asleep. That is normal. That is natural. That is very true. And rest that was just as necessary for the disciples as it is for each and every one of us. But why does the Lord Jesus wake them up? Oh, it is not time for them to sleep. Why is it not time to sleep? Because there is an enemy. And that enemy is so close by. That enemy is coming now. That enemy that is just a few steps. steps away from them. And this the disciples do not realize. What a struggle, congregation, the Lord Jesus was at in this garden. Here is one of the deepest parts of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say to his disciples? He said that my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Then that fully human nature that has seen by the divine nature all that was coming upon him. And Satan in that garden appears unto the Lord Jesus Christ to attempt to turn that Son of Man away from that which he has promised to his Father. And that fully human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ that recoils from all that suffering that is coming upon him. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. But now that human nature and the will of that human nature that immediately shows itself to be such in such complete agreement with that divine will of the Father. Even though that human nature recoils from that suffering, nevertheless, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord Jesus' congregation, he has entered into a battle that those disciples are not able to enter into. That was not a battle with the Romans. That was not a battle with the Pharisees and the scribes. But that was a battle with the devil himself. That is a battlefield upon which that Son of Man, he pitches over against that Prince of Darkness. That was a battle that was promised to our fathers in paradise already. That he would send his Son to fight this battle and to bruise the head of the enemy, to conquer that enemy. No, the disciples cannot enter into that battle because it is a divine power that is necessary to fight against this power of that Prince of Darkness on behalf of a people who were defeated in paradise by this same Satan. But these disciples, they do not realize all that is necessary to bring about their own salvation. They don't realize it. And they are a picture therein of that whole church of God. They have much love for the Lord. They have much zeal. They have much desire. Where does it come from? All comes from above. That is the working of that Holy Spirit that is making their spirit indeed ready and willing. But they have so little knowledge. They don't know the nature of the enemy. They don't know the nature of themselves. They don't know the weakness of their own flesh. And then especially there were three of them who had made this manifest, who had shown by speaking that they did not understand it. Who were they? They were Peter, James, and John. Listen to Peter. Lord, I am ready to go with thee into prison and unto death. Listen to James and John. The Lord Jesus says, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And are ye able to be baptized with that baptism that I shall be baptized with? We are able. And now what does the Lord Jesus do? He leaves his disciples behind. And then he says, you three, you come with me. And they have to go with the Lord Jesus. And he brings them, as it were, just to the edge of that battlefield. They had supposed themselves to be the strongest ones. And the Lord Jesus is going to teach his disciples a lesson. Gives them a command. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Thus, what must they do? They must tarry, that is, wait, and they must watch. It does not say to them, you must now go fight. You must now draw your sword. You must now engage the enemy. You must now oppose the enemy. You must conquer that enemy. No, actually, he gives them the easiest part of that which we might say is part still of that warfare. The easiest part, that is, the part of those who may, as it were, abide by the stuff. Tarry here and watch. And what happens? They could not. He cometh and findeth them sleeping. They cannot be the least help. They cannot be the least aid to the Lord Jesus Christ upon that battlefield. What did Isaiah prophesy of him? That he shall tread the winepress alone. And of the people there should be none with him. Or if the least thing, just to tarry and to watch, is dependent upon that church of God, then their salvation is impossible. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. But it is not necessary, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He will accomplish the complete salvation of his people. But this people need to learn the lesson. And what is that lesson they need to learn? They need to learn their own weakness. And why their own weakness? Oh, that they may see so clearly the need for him and the preciousness of that blessed mediator, Simon. Sleepest thou? No, the Lord Jesus does not wake them up so they can help him. He knew they could not help him. But he wakes them up to teach them a lesson. Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Oh, the Lord Jesus points Peter back to his own confession. Will you go with me, Peter? Will you go with me into prison? And will you go with me into death? Will you, Peter, not be offended though all men shall be offended? Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Oh, that spirit, he says, that is ready. What spirit is that? That is that spirit he himself has quickened. Oh, that is that new life, he says, Peter, that I have given you in your soul, that is ready. But now he sets something else over against that spirit. And what is that? What is that? That is his flesh. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. What is that flesh? The Statham Bible says that is our natural frailty. That is the weakness of the human nature, which is fallen. And that weakness of that human nature in God's people, that can never be an aid to that spirit that is made ready. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Is that then an excuse that the Lord Jesus gives to his people? Or he says, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. No, there was no excuse for them. But 3 times, he found them sleeping. Neither, we read, wist they what to answer him. They did not know what to say to him. And what have you to say to him, people of the Lord? Let us sing first from Psalter 342, 1 through 4. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 342, all stanzas. Thank you. Simon, sleepest thou? Congregation, sleepest thou? By nature, we are sleeping. By nature, we are sleeping the sleep of death. And we can, congregation, be sleeping without a realization that that enemy is so near. That enemy of death, that he will crawl through our windows at any moment. We are sleeping. We have seen it. We have seen it in the weeks gone by. One breath, one cough away from eternity. And we are sleeping. Oh, how close is that enemy? With that sword to us and our dear children, we need to be awakened out of our sleep. You say, I cannot wake myself up. That is the Lord's work. The Lord is the first one. The Lord is the one who has to convert me. Oh, how true. How very, very, very true. Congregation, how easily can we say that? Can we still go on the same way that we have been born? Sleeping. Oh, does the Lord then not say to us to seek, to ask, to knock? Will we then not use those means of grace with more fervor and more earnestness? Will there then not be a cry unto God in heaven that he would send his Holy Spirit, that he would awaken us from the dead, that we may see that wretched, awful condition that we are in? Oh, will you then not cry to him, say, Lord, awaken me from that death sleep in which I have been born, because I cannot die in that same state? Oh, how awful, awful, awful shall eternity be if we enter that eternity sleeping. From the moment of our birth, even to the moment of our death. Oh, are there some for whom that slothfulness, that sleepiness of death is a burden? Are there fathers and mothers, are there boys, are there girls, that to cry under that burden? Because you cannot convert your own soul. Because you see that an almighty power of God is necessary to change that wretched heart that lies within me, to give me a true concern, to give me a true desire. Oh, does it seem so impossible?
Do you cry to him? And does it take so long? Oh, do you fear that it never shall take place in your life? That is not a strange thing that you experience, that the Lord waits. Because the Lord will bring your crying, the Lord will bring your tears, and the Lord will bring all your sighs through the fire to try them to see whether they are genuine or only as the passing cloud. Oh, the Lord will see. The Lord will work in his own way. And the Lord will weed out that temporary faith. Oh, hold on then. What does the psalmist say? He says, wait upon the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. The Lord Jesus understood. The Lord Jesus knew and that his Father waits. Therefore, he speaks of that widow and that unjust judge. Oh, that men always should pray and never should faint. Simon, sleepest thou? Or how is it, people of the Lord? Are you sleeping? Oh, there was a time you could not sleep. There was a time you laid awake upon your bed. Why? Because you had to die. Because you had to meet God. Because you had to come into judgment. And you could not die. And you could not meet the Lord. Oh, the Lord woke you up. Oh, he did not suffer you to sleep. No, the Lord did not suffer your foot to rest on this earth. As long as you felt, as you knew yourself to be without God in this world. Precious time that was. No, we don't say easy time. But we say precious time that was. And why such a precious time? Because by times the Lord gave you to feel that he also was not sleeping. Then by times you may say with God's servant that the Lord, he hath heard my cry. Oh, by times though you could not explain it and though you would not dare maybe to say it to anyone because you did not know what it was, but by times the Lord has filled you. By time the Lord has poured out his love in your soul. Oh, we say no, not easy times when the Lord has woken you up, when the Lord has quickened your soul. When the Lord has made your spirit willing. Oh, but there were times when the Lord did sometimes so sweetly manifest himself to your soul. Oh, times when the inshinings of his spirit may shine in your dark soul. That you may see one little ray of light out of his holy word. Oh, there were times when you did not sleep. No, you did not sleep in the house of God. Oh, there were times when the Lord was so near to you. There were times when you could lay everything over into the hands of the Lord. Sometimes to give all your burdens for this life, but especially for this life. For the life of your soul, to lay them all at the foot of the Lord. Oh, precious and sweet times. Oh, they were precious because they were times in all your impossibility that the Lord came and that the Lord opened up a way for you where there was no way. When you had nothing but a mountain of sin to block your way between you and the Lord, that the Lord came over and that the Lord showed you and revealed himself as the breaker. When there was no way because you had closed the way, that he opened up and that he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then you rejoiced. No, you may rejoice in true faith. No, you did not dare to call it faith. You did not dare to call it true. But the Spirit of the Lord had made you still to rejoice. And no man could take it away from you. And you thought it would never go away. No, though you were warned, there will come different times. You thought, I shall go forward from strength to strength unto Zion. And now how is it? Oh, must the Lord say also to you, Simon, sleepest thou? Oh, in how many places of the Word of God do we not read of a sleeping church? We read about a bride. She is lying upon her bed, and the Lord, he must come, and he is knocking, knocking, knocking. But she is lying upon her bed. We read of the warning of the Lord unto his people Israel, that he says, when thou hast eaten and art full, beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, which broughtest thee out of the land of Egypt. Oh, we read about 10 sleeping virgins, the parable of the Lord Jesus himself, not just the professing church that is all words and no matter, but also that true church. Also that true church. And they are sleeping. Of whom the Lord says, the Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Simon, sleepest thou? Thou who took so much delight in the walking of my ways. Thou with whom I had dealings in your life. Thou whom I have drawn. You have run after me with all your heart. Simon, sleepest thou? Does the world draw you again? And everything that is carnal and everything that is vain and of the earth? Oh, is your soul filled with a love for ease that was not before? Oh, has my easy yoke become difficult for you? Has my light burden, has that become heavy? Simon, sleepest thou? How long will you leave your inner chamber empty? How long will you read my word out of mere form and mere custom? And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. Who of the true church knows what to answer him? When he comes unto them, and when he rebukes them, and when he says to them, Simon, sleepest thou? And who of that true church feels able to wake themselves up again and to bring themselves back again to that place of former days? Oh, that bride, and when that bridegroom had knocked, and when she had arisen up from her bed, and she began to seek once again after her beloved, then she is looking with longing eyes upon that young church, the daughters of Jerusalem. And then she is speaking to them. Oh, she sees them as so much closer to that bridegroom. And then she says to them, oh, if you see my beloved, then tell him that I am sick of love. Oh, she thinks she shall see him much sooner than I. And it is a great wonder that that church may hear yet from him, the Spirit truly is ready. Because when they have fallen asleep, then they must doubt and they must question if that Spirit was ever truly ready. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he speaks those words unto his own church who were sleeping. And what is the greatest wonder in the life of that people? That he was not sleeping. That he had gone in and he had fought with that enemy. And now David's men, what did they say? They did not want those who had gone in to fight with the enemy to divide the spoils with those who were too weak to go into battle and had remained behind with the stuff. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he has gone in. He has gone in to conquer that enemy. And his statute and his ordinance, that is with David. Oh, the fruit and the spoils, they are not only for that Son of God, but they are at the same time for that church. As his is that has gone forth into the battle, so shall his be also that has tarried behind by the staff. And so, congregation, they shall meet together. He that has gone in to fight and to conquer that enemy, and they that had fallen fast asleep, the Spirit truly is ready. But the flesh is weak. O people of the Lord, may it become more and more to you a burden. Why? All that he
that he may become to you all in all and everything. And that you may have a longing more and more to put off the flesh. That this immortality that would put on, that this mortal may put on immortality, and this corruption that may put on incorruption, and then you will sleep no more. You will sleep no more. Because there is no night there, but day and night, perfectly forever, to serve him. Amen. O Lord, help us. Wilt thou forgive our many sins? Oh, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. Oh, uncover it, Lord. Oh, wake up thy sleeping church, that they also may see how that from their side there is nothing, nothing, nothing. And it shall be the same to the end, that they may see such a preciousness and beauty in thee and thine only begotten Son. Wilt thou forgive all that was sinful in this morning? Bring us safely to our homes. Give that thy word may go with us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 444, stanzas 4 and 5. Jehovah will not chide with us forever, nor always keep his anger, but deliver his people from their sorrows and distress. He has not crushed the flock of his possession, nor dealt with us according to transgression. But chastens, he chastens, but with love and tenderness. 4 and 5 of Psalter 444. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.